Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. It's in honor of spring and new beginnings and blooming and all the stuff that makes life wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about our favorite topic, which is Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, and where we stand now. I don't know if people know, but Congress, the House has passed a new bill which will remove what's called the sustained growth rate, which is how they base payment to doctors on Medicare. And it was bipartisan. Nancy Pelosi and I think Boehner got up and crowed about how fabulous it was and how this was going to change the face of medicine. You know, I'm paraphrasing that, but basically it's going to change the face of medicine. And those doctors who are still private and independent and are still in Medicare will probably, those will probably be the last legs of them, and they'll be removing themselves while they still can from this system. And, you know, I think that there's a disconnection between reality and rhetoric. And when someone tells you that they're doing something for value and value-based, you need to peel the lid off of that, because it doesn't mean what you think it means. What it means is that there are going to be more restrictions, less autonomy, and a decrease in value for what the services you are rendered. Whoever's giving them, the value will be diminished and the reimbursements will go down, and consequently that service will no longer be available. That's what value-based means. The Affordable Care Act has put into play and into the foundation the things that we hated about medicine, and every patient that I ever dealt with back in the late 90s hated about medicine. HMOs, capitation, pooled resources where it's centralized and one huge entity, whether that be the hospital, the accountable care organization, some central entity gets the money and they get to dole it out. And it's really top heavy. This is no longer patient doctor driven. And of course, there were no patients or doctors in the mix, in the decision to pass this. It's not passed yet. It passed the House. It still has to pass the Senate, which of course it probably will. And they'll talk about how this will decrease Medicare costs. They'll talk about how this is a win for Medicare. And, it, you know, it's not. Every time they do something to ratchet down costs, and every time they do it to a physician, costs end up rising. And it's not the physician that's doing it. I read an article stating that when costs go down, then doctors do more procedures or services. It's actually not the case. I mean, I don't know how to put this. I'm going to try to break this down so people understand how this is a huge box, and there is no wiggle room in this kind of box. Medicare is the baseline, the gold standard, the foundation of what gets covered and what the base payment is to doctors, to hospitals. I don't like the pharmaceutical companies so much. They seem to be immune for some reason. When Medicare sets a rule, sets a rate, it is picked up over time by commercial insurance companies, and they use that loosely as their guide to cover services and to set payment. It's usually based on a percentage of Medicare. Never 100%, usually 80, maybe 60. If it's Medicaid, it's probably about 30% of Medicare. And that's how it goes. Now, from a personal standpoint, over the course of my career, it has affected me, as it affects all physicians. Instead of being able to do everything that I trained to do, ear surgery, head and neck oncology, pediatrics, everything that I spent 6 years of training to do, I do about 30% of it now, because the cost of doing business to do the procedure outweighs the what I get reimbursed. And instead of trying to, you know, continue to do the same thing, expect a different result, I stop doing the thing. That means my experience, expertise, my ability to take care of patients fully has been limited by this system. You multiply that by 500,000 doctors in this country. And you see why services have decreased, that it takes you, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks if you're lucky, maybe 2 or 3 months to see physicians. And as you get to specialists, it gets worse. It's not really because there's less of us. There's never been a ton of specialists. That's the nature of medicine. It's because we have limited our practices to specialty things because, one, we like them. Two, we're good at them. And three, if we really want to stay open, we won't do anything else. That's the regulation power that the government has over our profession. And over time, we've let everything and its mother erode our autonomy as physicians. 10, 15 years ago, you didn't have doctors practicing or increasing their scope of practice. For example, botulinum toxin for wrinkles and you name it. It used to be done by plastic surgeons. It used to be done by oncologists for, you know, any kind of neurological issue, neurologists. Now you've got spas that open up and they do Botox parties because it's about everybody jumping on a bandwagon where there's some service that's paid in an appropriate manner, in a manner that is driven by the forces of the market. Everything that's, and I can't name one plastic surgery procedure that's actually gone up in price. Any LASIK surgery that's gone up in price since it was introduced. The power of the market has done a wonderful job of making prices affordable. If you don't like paying $10,000 for a facelift, you can shop around and get it for half that price. You have the freedom to choose based on what's best for your pocketbook. When that force is removed and you have an artificial price point placed on it, then you lose the service because anybody who's paying any attention to their business plan or to their bottom line will opt out of a system that's going to put them out of business. What Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act and the whole regulatory process has done is it's propped up artificially the most expensive aspects of healthcare. Hospitals have been allowed to run amok, to double dip, to charge whatever they deem that they want to. They don't even have a fee scale. So if you ask somebody how a hospital, you go and you ask them how much it's going to be for a procedure, they really have to give you an estimate because they can't tell you. They make it up as they go along. And those hospitals or those markets where the hospital's been forced to compete, they put their prices online. You can take your estimate from your direct pay surgery care center and pop it on their desk and they'll meet that, which goes to show you that they're really rigging the system and playing with it. And they live for people who don't ask questions, who don't take a stand, and who say, okay, I'll do whatever you want me to. They love that. When you go up to them, and I hate to go off the track for a second, but if you go to a hospital and you say, print out an itemized bill, and you start going through that thing, there's about maybe a third of it, maybe more of it, is miscellaneous, or they've double charged you for something. You need to go line by line on those explanation of benefits or those bills that you receive, and you can take off about half of your bill, easy. Or you might even go use one of the services. Liberty HealthShare actually has a service. There's whole companies where they'll go and negotiate your medical bill for you. And they do what you should do, you know, just play hardball. Make them cite their source. Make them tell you why it costs $25 for of Tylenol or whatever they're billing you for. And when you ask hard questions and they don't have an answer, they start retracting it really, really quickly. So instead of coming out with a $30,000 bill, you may come out with a $15,000 or a $10,000 bill. That's the system that's been rewarded under the Affordable Care Act. Who do you think is going up to Congress to help craft these bills and these think tanks? Who do you think funds them? Who do you think stands to gain by this system? You know, the hospitals have a ton of money. The insurance company has a ton of money. And they have grist for the mill, which is us, doctors and patients. We've been sacrificed on this altar of how much can I suck someone dry and how much can I get away with and are my friends going to back me? And we already know the answer to this. This bill is it's a scam fest. There is nothing that works in this bill that works for a patient. I don't care who you are, progressives, leftists, you know, conservatives, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to get the same crap that they want to pawn off as medicine unless you have money, unless you can opt out of the system. That's why I was so really just irritated with Ted Cruz and his statement about now that he's losing his wife's insurance, he has no other choice but to get on Obamacare. If anybody in Congress stood for something, if they could back up their own rhetoric, the answer would have been, should have been, I'd rather pay the fine than put my family in a system that I disagree with. That should have been the answer. And I might have voted for him had that been the case. It's the same old, same old. You know, this is it's theater. And as long as they say what they think we want to hear, and we keep voting for them, they'll keep giving us the same thing. Before we came on air, I asked my producer, I said, I mean, I was really just kind of wondered why Rand Paul would start off or use in his coming into the campaign speech, take our country back. Why? That's going to be used as a clarion call to use the same tactics against him. We're going to hear racist, white entitlement, male privilege, 24/7. Will he even get a message out? Because he just rang the cowbell. You know, it's like the Pavlov bell. And here we go. You know, I'm just tired of the same old thing. I mean, really, if you really represent different ideas, and if you really stand for something, you should be ready to take a hit for what you believe in. I'm ready to leave the profession of medicine if I have to, because I'm not going to become an agent of the government. I stand for something. People that I send my patients to stand for something. And the patients that come to see me appreciate that, and they care about their health. I mean, I have people coming to me who, they may have been given a diagnosis, they've been told to take a medication, and they don't want to do it. They want an alternative. That's what this is about. You need to have your choice back. If you want to do this, you want someone to tell you when you get a medication and when they want to pull the plug, and if you're deemed, you know, viable, that's on you. But I don't want to do it, and I don't want to be put in a system that I have no choice but to do it. I didn't even know this, Dave. Under Medicare, it's illegal for me to not charge a patient. I can't see a patient for free. I had no idea that was the case. What kind of system is that? If you can't even give a free service away under your own will as a physician, you can't give your labor away for free, but they can tell you what to do. That system is completely bankrupt and corrupt. I don't care what anybody says. It's not doing a favor for anybody, whether they're of means or not, to put them in a system where you've got captive slaves treating them. Either you get people who are completely compliant, could care less, just go along and get along, or you have people who hate what they do and that energy spreads through their care, or you have people who are just happy to get a crumb. You know, they're just, I've made it in their mind, and they'll do whatever they have to keep that prestige or that perceived power that they have. You have no power in this system as a doctor. You have no power overall as a patient. The power to say, thank you, may I have another, is what you really have. And I can't even begin to describe, this is the beginning. This is not the end. If we allow the system to come into full fruition, full bloom, it's going to be way ugly. It's not even funny. Forget about what's going on in the UK, Canada. That's the tip of the iceberg. This is the United States. We have a unique way of doing things. And it's going to be, I don't know, I guess we'll discuss that more after the break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, before the break, I was doing a small rant, not a big one, just a little one. I don't need to go to any kind of psychiatry or anything to help me with my stress level, because I come here once a week and I get to let it all go, which is awesome. Thank you for listening, by the way. So before the break, we're talking about a lot of things, but ultimately it's about the power and the shift of cost. And what the monies of healthcare is now being centralized. And this is like every other corrupt system out there. You set up a fake lack. You know, you keep telling people there's not enough services, there's not enough doctors. You create this false scarcity. And of course, you have the answer for that. And the way you dole it out, because it's so limited, you have to centralize that so it's fair for everybody to get their health care or whatever the service is. And that fairness means you have picking the winners of whomever your friends are to administer it, to be the only place you can go to get it. And those guys get to set the price. With the guys who are in demand right now, the people who are winning this, the corporate interest, they're not going to win this in the long run. I mean, the end point is for them to be bankrupted too, and for the government to take over everything. Nobody wins in this. You know, there is short-term winners, the people who think that they won from a political standpoint or social standpoint. Then there's the people who actually get the monetary win. And then the ultimate winner is the government. Once they've herded you into a system that they control completely, then you start ratcheting down what you dole out. Because the government's job is to get, and isn't this, I guess it's historical maybe, is to get more power, is to get more resources, to control everything. That's how it works. It's not benevolent. I've never seen one government that over time has maybe started off in a fashion that wanted to help people, but at the end, their version of helping people is controlling, micromanaging everything they do and taking as many resources as they can get their hands on, whether that be your property, your labor, in this case, your health. And what do? I mean, from cradle to grave, you are controlled. And that means getting vaccines from the time you come out of your mom's womb to taking your property from you after you're dead so you can't pass it to your loved ones. You know, it's tragic. And all of this subterfuge and theater that goes along on top of it to distract you so that you're not paying any attention to this. I wonder what's going to happen on April 15th when people go to this H&R Block, which of course stood to gain because you get more people, you get more percentage of their Get Your Money Back campaign. They were all in for Obamacare. They love this. How complicated the tax situation now is, you need someone to help you navigate it. And here we are, ready for action. I have a feeling that not many people are going to get as much money as they got last year, if at all, and a lot more people are going to owe it. And next year is going to be a big whammy, because if you did better, you have to pay back what you were subsidized this year. They don't tell you these things, like reading the small print, the fine print. And it's, oh my gosh, I mean, it's just sad. I mean, I was in the OR yesterday and I spoke with nursing staff, you know, that I've worked in the OR, and anesthetist, and everybody had the same story. We used to work for a smaller concern, but now we've lost that job or we've left it, and we're now working for a hospital system. And everywhere we worked has been either closed, bought out by bigger hospitals, and closed or changed. Anything to actually encourage a lack of diversity in terms of care, in order to control the marketplace so you don't have competition. So if you don't have anything, you get to set the price. Nobody can say anything, because there is no other game in town. They've done it throughout the healthcare systems across the country, and it's very subtle. Started off with your community hospital closing. Then you have these systems pop up. Then you have specialty hospitals that only do cardiac or orthopedics or whatever the thing is. Then you have these surgery centers that you used to be able to go to, now are satellites, if they are. I mean, I've lost about 4 or 5 surgery centers over the course of the last 10 years that they've been, you know, bought out, closed, changed to a specialty. They just do eye, they just do GI, something where you cannot go there. And I'm now down to 2 that I can take patients to. One is really expensive because it's a hospital based, and the other is a little bit better, but not great. It's a surgery center that's kind of satellite to the hospital. And there's one freestanding, and they're hanging on. They tried to put them out of business, and they're still around. This doesn't help the patient. It helps them not, because I can't. They have less OR times available, obviously, so you have to wait longer to have the surgery. 2, they set the price. The hospital is paying, you're paying for the hospital, right? So you're paying for all their staff, their upkeep, their shiny new building. Everybody seems to be under construction. All of their new equipment that they buy. And you're subsidizing that with your fee that they bill you. It's not lean and mean. It has the potential to get just completely waste-driven. The CEO and the people who are making the money on these, and by the way, they're usually nonprofits, by the way, and they're making hand-over-fist money. I don't understand how that's possible either. I'd rather go to a for-profit hospital, know where that money's going, and they have to make a profit, so they're going to run a business in an efficient manner because they need the business to make their profit. That's a much more transparent system to work under than these nonprofits where you've got money just flowing in from the government, from people who sponsor them, to the patients who are just getting gouged. And that money never seems to go back to a pot that you can access if you don't have money, right? So you walk in, you don't have the means to pay it. They never seem to come up with, oh, we have a, this program where we'll help pay your hospital bill and drop it 50%. They never have a program like that, ever. Never. And there may be doctors willing to not charge for their services, but the hospital never seems to want to do that. So you still get dinged with the bill. And I'm sure, I pretty much can say, if doctors are on a payroll, they're probably not allowed to give you services for free because they're employees of the hospital. I mean, so all these things that come into play that you lose control over as a patient and doctors, it's just not going to work. It's set up so that this is what's empowered. This is the mentality that's been empowered. And over the course of Medicare and all these regulations, I'll say it again, the cost of healthcare has continued to rise. The only difference now that I can see is that there's a cohort of people out there, Congress, bioethicists, leftists, these supposed progressives, which are leftists, have the unmitigated gall to say you should die and like it because you're costing everybody too much money. That's the only difference. Now there's this chorus of people who are sanctioning death, euthanasia, withdrawal of care, not spending money on people who really need it and who are really ill because they're too expensive and they're not worth it. And that seems to be now the only thing that's different in medicine that's okay to say that, to build it into the system, to encourage it, and to reward it. You know, 1% of Obamacare monies has been shifted to hospice, to end-of-life conversations. You get paid now to talk to somebody about pulling a plug. They won't pay you to do the hip replacement. They won't pay you to do the open heart surgery on someone who's got multiple medical problems. I mean, that's where that's going. But if it's time to put you in a hospice and talk about some morphine, we'll pay you for that. You're probably going to get paid more for that than you would doing a procedure. I mean, that's the system that's coming online. And it sounds awesome if you are healthy, if you're young, if you're in Congress, or if you have means, it doesn't affect you. But for 90% of the people out there, someone's going to have somebody in their family where this affects them and touches them. And you're not going to like it. You know, you're not going to want to have to pay taxes into a system where they just deny you care, deny you services, price you out of healthcare. That's what's been going on for the past 2 or 3 years. People are being priced out. I don't know. So, you know, for those who are in Medicare, I feel for you. I honestly do. Because if they're dropping the growth rate and they're making it a quote a value-based system. And let's talk about that for a quick second. This value-based system is based on performance. So they expect you to have a certain outcome. They expect the medication to work in a certain time frame. They expect you to be discharged within certain time constraints, and you can't be readmitted within a certain time frame. Otherwise, your hospital or your doctor won't be paid. The court accountable care organizations, which started off, I think there were 90, they now have about 30. So even their system that they've set up, where they have these satellite doctors and hospital outpatient systems that are supposed to control costs, two-thirds of them are gone. They don't work. So they're trying to double down on a system where you're controlling costs by denying access, by limiting care, and by pushing people into a palliative system. If it's a big ticket item like a cancer, you're not going to get aggressive treatment. And, you know, the sad part is, this is, to me, the saddest part of the system. There's a lot of sad parts. But if you are diagnosed with something that's catastrophic, and they put you into hospice, and you have means, you still have property, you still have savings, you cannot get Medicare. You can't get Medicaid until you get rid of your means. You have to sell your property, you have to take your name off of deeds, you have to be bankrupt in order to enter this system. So they basically just stick a hose into your pocketbook and suck everything out until you're destitute, and then you can access their death system. Thanks a lot. I mean, what kind of system is that? Do people actually know that you have to lose everything unless you're over 65 and you actually end up in Medicare, you know, in their time frame? But if you're younger and you end up in hospice, you're really sick, you can't get this stuff until you give up everything. And suppose you make it, then what do you do? I mean, I don't know what to say, but think about that. And let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, we're having our conversations, and let's make you privy to this one. And we were talking about the government, and, you know, Dave said, and he's right, the government is not an entity. It's made of people, and it's made of, you know, It was 500 and something. And they're not doing anything. I mean, what was their approval rate, 10% at the time of the last election? And yet they're in this bubble where they just keep going and ignoring us and basically setting themselves up so they can never be removed or they're immune to any kind of probe. I mean, you've got people who are felons in there. You can be a felon and run for Congress, am I correct? You could be a felon, I mean, I'm not sure you can be a lawyer. Probably can't be a lawyer and be a felon, but that says something. You're an entity that sets law, that sets legislation, but you can have criminals in there setting legislation. There's something wrong with that. What happened to ethics? What happened to some sort of check and balance? There seems to be none. And the worse they are, the more vocal they are about, yeah, I'm not leaving. You have to pry me out, you know, pry my hands off of this wheel of power. And they don't even use the power that they have. I mean, the fact that they admit to not reading bills, but that they sign on to, is tragic. That should be grounds to remove you, right? What do you do all day? That's your job. I mean, even the Supreme Court, I think it was Scalia, he said, I didn't read it. They basically said, I don't have time to read the Affordable Care Act. You know, so they're making deliberate decisions on things. I really don't trust the fact that they actually read anything, or they just depend on their aides to do it and tell them what they thought. I mean, it was this Cliff Note run government, really. That's what it is. It's Common Core government. You know, just sit there and keep it going. Just keep the will steady. Put in a couple people here and there just to make people, just to give them some pabulum, shut them up, and do the same thing. I don't see any change in that coming in 2016. And I'm not sitting around waiting for Congress to repeal Obamacare. It's not going to happen. Republicans have been in there for how many weeks now? It's not going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. They'll talk, they'll make committees, they'll go on TV and argue like they really mean it, and then they'll do what we're hearing. I'm going to put my family on Obamacare because I can, and that's the law. Or we're going to take our country back. What the hell does that even mean? It's just, it's a bell, you know, it's a dog whistle to be ineffective. Instead of meeting people where they are, instead of really coming down to where we all have commonalities, that's how you move forward. This whole situation, the whole country's been polarized in every single manner you can possibly divide us. Class, race, sex, religion, everything you can think of, we've been divided on. And the people coming on in the 2016 election are doing nothing but doubling down on that. Whether it's passive aggressively or, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's inept. I think that they, you don't, I don't think there's any congressperson. That's how they work. It's by committee. It's by bartering. It's by, you know, not really taking a stand because you have to work with colleagues. And they're my friend across the aisle. They're not kidding about these things. They mean that. We're just not listening to what they're saying. We need to stop that. I mean, if you tell someone, you know, it's black or it's white and it's green in front of your face, you mean, just because they say it doesn't make it so. Forget about what they say. Start watching what they do and how they vote, for goodness sake. I don't know if anybody really lists or pays attention to what their congressperson does in terms of their vote. That's where you really need to pay attention to. Forget what they say on the morning shows. And they say a lot. NDAA, I think Rand Paul voted for that. As a libertarian, there's no way anybody could vote for that thing. Takes away your liberty, makes you a criminal without a trial, and it gives the government extreme power to seize you, not just your property, but you, if they deem that it's appropriate. I don't see how anybody who follows the Constitution could say that's okay. So, you know, I kind of lost him on that. Then you have Ted Cruz and that whole spiel making some ridiculous vote that allowed all of those appointees that were on the fence that they didn't vote for to all get in. And, I mean, he just did a blanket where you've got the Surgeon General, who's a, you know, anti-gun. This guy is a total ideologue. You've got this, the new Attorney General that's probably going to get in. She's worse than the last one. You want to talk about partisan? It's going to be a free-for-all. And if Hillary Clinton runs, it's going to be sexism 24/7. Everything will be sexist. First it was racist. Now it's going to be sexist for the next 4 years. Is anybody else tired of it? I just can't even listen to it anymore. I can't even watch TV anymore and the news. It's just not watchable. No wonder their ratings are dropping. But they don't care because they're getting paid from, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, whoever is, you know, supporting them, GE, you name it. It's just put it on. If people have nothing else to watch, they'll have to watch us. And if we say it enough, they'll believe it. They think we're idiots. Vote with your pocketbook, vote with your feet, vote with your command for your TV and turn it off. They do understand no money. I know they understand that one. That's a direct message to these guys.
Are you aware of the connection with the supposed attorney general, or the nominated attorney general?
With what?
Loretta.
No, what connection?
The connection is, guess who her best friend and roommate was in school?
I don't know.
Holder's wife.
No, I didn't know
is
that.
Is this not the same thing of the company that did Obamacare's website, and that wife was
a college friend
with Michelle?
Yeah.
Is there coercion here? Is there cronyism here?
I'm going to say this loosely. I can't prove it, but I'm sure it's the case. This is not new. This is just, it's how government works. It's your friends. It's who you went to college with. It's who you feel comfortable with and who has your mindset, who you know you can do whatever. They won't question you, but they'll have their hand out and get what they need to get. This is how collectivism works. This is how, you know, the Politburo works. This is how, when you centralize power in the government, you take it away from individuals. This is how it works. You have to have people who get rewarded for keeping the status quo, for keeping your secrets, for making getting rid of people who actually, it sounds bad, who actually work, who actually have ideas, who actually think outside the box. They're a threat to a system like this, because anybody who's a thinking person, who's critical and who has skin in the game and who has a conscience and ethics will see this for what it is. It's morally, ethically bankrupt. And it is propped up by the labor of love, labor figuratively and literally, of the people that it's sucking dry. And the only way you can keep it is to make them ignorant of that fact, delude them, demean them, degrade them, do whatever you need to do by all means necessary to keep it going. And those that get too uppity or too ahead of themselves, you get rid of them. Either you demonize them, you jail them, you break them in some way so they go away. Or you make them laughingstock, or it's a conspiracy theorist, or this person is an idiot. Whatever they use against the person to shut them up, that's how they do it. And, you know, I've gotten to the point now that if someone really gets dinged by somebody and it's just an all-out assault, you wonder what they really did to piss them off. And they must be a real genuine person, because they don't do that to people who are part of the system. They get propped up, pushed up, the best thing ever. They're in your face 24/7. You should want to be like this person. I can't take it anymore. And it's a whole celebrity culture. People who, some of them never even went to college, are telling me, or school even, telling me that I'm a bad person because I love myself. You're not supposed to do that. It's not about you as the individual. You're supposed to be part of a group. Everything is awesome as long as you're part of a team. What kind of stupid message is that? A team is a group of individuals who have something to bring to the table. Everybody has a talent, a gift that they are expressing, which makes the team a whole and better. That's the mindset. Not just sublimate yourself, be less than. Don't strive for the best, because that's hurting somebody. That's hurting Johnny, because he feels bad because he's not as good as you are. Yeah, whatever it is. That's ridiculous. What kind of statement? What kind of... Just think about that for a second. You're being told, don't be the best you can be. Be less than. Be a perpetual victim, because that's cool. That's what's trendy, to be some sort of victim of some group that's being alienated or bullied. Give me a break. Bully? Back in the day, when you dealt with a bully, either you got your mom or your brother or sister to handle it, or you handle it yourself, and they became your best friend. That's how it worked. I still don't understand how someone can be bullied online. I don't get that. Turn the computer off. I mean, it's not like they're waiting for you after school to beat you up, right? This is all on texting and sexting, and I'm not even that old, but this doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, your whole life is virtual, and it's removed. There's no personal touch. I mean, you see these commercials, and you see people, instead of having conversations, texting, and they're right next to each other. Well, that's the system that they want. You remove the humanity. You remove the contact with somebody. Then it makes it okay for you to say abortion's fine. Pull the plug, because it's taking away from me. You took it from me, and you owe me. That's the mentality. I don't have to work for it anymore. You know, I'm a victim. Pay me. You know, make me feel good about myself. That's just ridiculous. You need to feel good about yourself because you need to feel good about yourself. I don't need to be put on this earth to make you feel good about yourself. That's the system that we're making. And we're building it from preschool up. I can only imagine if they start covering pre-K or whatever, that Head Start across the country. I can only imagine what kind of kids we're going to make if they get started that early with that mindset. No gender roles. You know, it's unfair for little boys to play with guns. Oh, you name it. You know, blurring all sorts of lines, taking away your individuality and your sense of self, is detrimental to society. It's not a statement of who's equal, who's not equal. We're different. That's the beauty. And different doesn't have an equal or a less equal sign on it. It's just different. Let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. you know, everything I just spoke about is like a stream of consciousness. I mean, it, I start off on a topic, I'm so sorry, but it ends up mushrooming to other things because I just see a bigger connection between, I mean, everything's connected. This is not all happening individual. You know, it's not this haphazard thing. It is an overwhelming of the system. Every time you think you have a handle on something, there's another crisis that breaks out that takes your attention away from the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is we're moving in a direction where your rights as an individual to choose what you put in your body, to choose who you associate with, or whom, I'm not sure which, everything that gives you your sense of self and your that makes you should make you happy is being attacked. It's under attack. I believe that, you know, whether you're, for example, if you want to do vaccines and awesome, you go and you shoot yourself up as much as you can shoot yourself up, have a good time. But if I choose not to, and I have a conscious objection to it, and I have a reason behind it, then I shouldn't have to do it. And it's all really about informed consent on every level. They do fiat. Everything's done by fiat now. It's assigned, it's a executive order. It's Congress not being in the loop. It's Congress ceding their power to the UN for things. You know, this vaccine push is not just the United States. This is a UN-driven, I don't know, it's a mandate to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And it's great, you know, when they have nobody for them, when they have nobody questioning it. And it's become a demonizing campaign. Before it was just, okay, it was kind of under the current. Now it's become like gun control, where we're going to take you out in some way if you don't vaccinate, or if you don't vaccinate your child. Child Protective Services is coming for you. You can't put your, I just found this out. You can't put your, in Georgia, you can't put your child in school if they have, I swear to God, cavities. You have to have your child's teeth capped before you go. I'm not making this up. I can see if you can't see. You know, you need an eye check, you need a hearing check. If those are abnormal, we recommend you go do that. But to have your child's cavities capped, they're baby teeth. What are you talking about? So you have to put your child under anesthesia, have this procedure done. I'm sure it costs money to do that. No one's doing it for free. For them to go to school? What? I mean, that adds a little. I've never even heard that. And this is personal experience talking now on this one. So I've had to deal with this peripherally. And I don't get that at all. But this is the level that we're coming down to, where it's every little nitpicky, henpecking thing that they can do just to keep, you know, jabbing at you. And I think it's a trial. The more we say, well, okay, I'll just do it. Every time you give in and do that, they go another inch. Before you know it, you don't have the ability to do anything. This, another example, electronic medical record system. I talked about not being able to close your medical record unless you answered meaningful use. And let's talk a little bit more about meaningful use and how this potentially could be used against you. You have to put in the weight, the height. That gives you the BMI, the body mass index. And if you are considered to be obese, which now used to be 30, now it's 25. So, of course, everything expanded in the parameters of normal and abnormal. So the normal is getting less, you know, getting smaller, and abnormal is getting larger. So as soon as you fall into the abnormal category, and I'm telling you, this is coming. Trust me. If you're on Medicare, or especially Medicaid, let's say, and you get an electronic benefits card, EBT card, how do we know that that's not going to trigger something that says you can't buy soda, you can't buy fatty foods, junk food? It just won't work for that. How do we know that's not going to happen? It could. You know, biometrics are in there. They make your kid give a fingerprint for school lunches now. I mean, this is just a system of a grid where they know exactly what you're doing at all times. Those Fit bands that people started wearing, that's connected to a cloud. I mean, they're sipped in that data 24/7. How long you spend on your couch, how many steps you took that day. Just imagine your phone is now being used to pay stuff with the Apple Pay. So they know exactly when you're up at McDonald's. Do you really want someone? I mean, it's like living your life on a TV. It is like a reality show now.
I started to buy one of the Fitbands the other day.
No.
You know, it has GPS in it.
They know where you are.
I don't want any part of it.
No.
They know more than they should about me anyway. And I was buying it for health, or thought I was going to buy it for health purposes. No, thank you. When I got to checking into them,
No. Those Kinect, is it PlayStation Kinect, whatever the heck that is, I don't have one, but that's a biometric scanner as well. They know they can watch you. When it's not on, it's listening to the mic is on. Samsung has a disclaimer on their TVs telling you if you don't want anybody to know, any third party to know what you're saying, don't talk in front of the TV. And that's when the thing is off. So you have this system where you're being watched, your smart appliances, they're also linked to a computer. The smart, that thing for your thermostat, they can turn it off. If you're using too many units of energy, they'll turn the thing off, or they'll charge you more. There's something in California now where they can smart meter your water use. That's going to be used against you, too. So the people, the users of the resource, are going to be charged more. Or maybe they'll just turn your water off so you can't use it at all. You know, you wash your car, we know you did it, done. You know, this is how it's going to work.
I should charge who's ever listening to me at home as a sleeping aid. I probably bore them to death, and I love it. I hope they sleep like logs.
You're living in a big fishbowl at this point. I mean, I don't know what to tell people except be aware. Decide what you want somebody to know. I mean, these emails are another thing. If you don't want anybody ever to know anything about you, don't put it in email. I mean, it can be sifted. You can erase it. It can be found again.
Or just destroy your server.
Well, yeah, you could do that. Supposedly. Yeah. The bottom line is live your life in private. Get yourself off of Facebook. Even if you close your Facebook account, apparently they can still track you by the cookies, even if you don't have a Facebook account once you've had one. So Google, Facebook, all those multi-trillion dollar companies, billion dollar companies, they didn't get that way because they were great business people. Somehow, I think they got in with the government and they became agents of the government in some form. They can sift their data. They can go and look at their records, your call logs, all that stuff. They get rewarded for that. And now they're moving along to doctors with the electronic medical record system, some, for the most part, unbeknownst to the doctor. They just think they're doing a good job and they're filling in the blank. And they get a little carrot from the government for meaningful use before it becomes a stick. So they were giving you maybe 1% payment increase, which, whatever, for going into meaningful use, putting in that information. I think in 2017, it switches. If you don't put in the information, you get money taken away. So this is what they always do. They give you money. They suck you into this cesspile. They make it, put some perfume on it for a while. And then when you're in completely, that's it. And it happens. It's the same playbook. Doctors need to, before we're in this thing, before we can't get out, before they tie it to your license, before they make it mandatory that you take Obamacare and Medicaid and Medicare in order to re-up your license, we need to jump ship. You know, we need to stop playing this game. It's not healthcare. It's not medicine that we're delivering anymore. And now this is the new push against supplements. I noticed that recently. The FDA is starting to come after. And I think they're trying to remove any kind of alternative to pharmaceuticals unless they make it themselves or make a synthetic version of it. They're probably going to try to outlaw natural things like vitamin C and stuff. I bet you they are. If they can make a version of it, they make a fish oil supplement, you know, Lavazza, whatever. They're going to make whatever they need to synthetically reproduce what's natural. And when they're able to do it, those things will become demonized. It's not safe. You shouldn't have it. I just read on the way in that Tylenol, I forget the company, McNeil, or whatever the company that makes Tylenol liquid, they got a $50 million fine or something because they had heavy metal and chromium in their children's Tylenol liquid. So when you have things like that, and the FDA says summarily all herbal supplements are bad for you, they lose power when you say something like that. If that's the case, then why do we have so many recalls with pharmaceutical companies? Their whole the manufacturing plant was tainted, and they're able to continue to make it. They're still in business. But trust me, they would put an herbal supplement company out of business faster than you can say boo for saying that they didn't follow the FDA labeling guidelines. Nothing to do with the actual product. It's just what they put on the label. I personally don't think that pharmaceuticals should be able to say that they cure you either. They don't. So, I mean, I know we're almost at the end of the show, but I want to challenge folks to really go and do some digging on this. You know, just because the FDA says it's right, you have to look at where they're coming from. They're coming from Big Pharma. The people who run it, it's a revolving door between the two. They are tied to the World Health Organization. This is all a bigger picture where you're trying to put any competition out of business, any alternative, anything that empowers the individual, anything that gives the individual the chance to be creative, to be what you were put on this earth to be. They want that gone. And we have the power now to stop it. Let's do that. And I guess we're at the end of the show, so I want to thank you very much for listening. It's a pleasure being with you always, and I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.